The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's
good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on a Tuesday, and some interesting developments here with the Philadelphia Eagles with Jason Peters. And we had this discussion many times with a lot of football experts, including our own Sal Pal, and it was iffy whether Peters would be interested in moving over to guard. And the Eagles have made a good move. As long as he's interested in doing it, as long as he wanted to do it, they cover a lot of bases. They grab themselves a starting right guard, filling for Brandon Brooks. And then they have a guy there in case the other kid doesn't work out at left tackle. You always have Jason Peters you can shift over there if you believe that Pryor can take that guard position. So a good move by the Eagles and a good move by Jason Peters. Who, listen, you play for a team for a really long time. You don't want to go somewhere else to play one more year. So his agent said, listen, dude, play guard one more year. You can make about $6 million max. That's not a bad way to go out. You don't have to change up anything. You don't have to find new living arrangements. So that works out for both parties, I think. So good for Jason Peters and good for the Eagles if football season, of course, even happens. And we'll talk about that a little later. So let's talk about the Ben Simmons thing because I want to solve some things here. Yesterday, we kind of scratched the surface of it. Today, I want to get in deep. And here it is. I'm reading this headline here. That's this is a story that was it. Where was this tied? The Athletic, the Brad Botkin story. Where's that from?
That's from CBSSports.com.
CBSSports.com. And the headline is: the 76ers are shifting Ben Simmons to power forward, and it's the move that could unlock their full potential. All right, how? How's that unlock their full potential? Because all the headlines I was reading before, all the Sixers are going to be a scary team coming into playoffs. They're going to be all together, you know, in their current form. They're going to, you know, all of a sudden now their full potential is unlocked because they moved Ben Simmons to four. I don't know if it's going to work or not, and I can't make a judgment on it until I see it. But here's what I will tell you, and I heard Anthony say this, it's definitely a Hail Mary move. Because you could have very easily come back in the same form, just to believe a little more in your coaching ability, believe a little more in your players that they would figure it out, that they wouldn't be as uncomfortable this time around for whatever reason. So it is definitely a Hail Mary. You have to ask yourself the question, would they have been better off staying the same way? Here's the other thing that we need to consider. Tyrone, I know you're a Shake man. Are we giving Shake a little too much credit? Are we sure about Shake? We have a very small sample. And I think from what I'm hearing from a lot of people that, wow, you got Shake on the floor. He can do this. He can do that. And you know me, I hold back. I don't have enough info to fully 100% believe in Shake. I've seen a couple of good games. I see where he's got some ability. But are we going a little too overboard on Shake being an important player for this team?
No. And the reason is because the fit with Horford was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
If the fit with Horford had been even mediocre, then I would say you're asking too much of Shake. Because I'm looking at Shake, playoff Shake, as literally the fifth option. Okay. I'm looking at him as the fifth option. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting him to get 39 like he did against the Clippers.
Okay.
What I'm expecting him to do is to be able to spot up and make open shots. not be necessarily be the guy off the dribble, not do a lot of things, just make an open shot. And because the fit with Simmons, Embiid, and Horford was so clunky, that's why I don't think, I think it's more just about something different in his different skill set, even if it is sort of inferior, I think can still enhance the team because of the bad fit with Horford through the 60-some games of the year. That's how I'm looking at it.
That's a fair way to look at it.
But there are absolutely fans who are actually thinking he is Lou Williams, think that he is Vinnie Johnson, and we do not have enough evidence yet, as much as I love him.
Or is James Harden.
Right. We don't have any of that evidence yet. So
yes.
But I'm not looking at it like that.
We do have a lack of evidence. And I don't know if things will work with Horford, so they have to try this, which goes back to the whole Hail Mary principle, that he's trying something different, and it seems to be a little more desperate than... But here's the whole thing that mitigates it. And I got to... whatever you feel about Brett Brown, he is an NBA coach. Okay, he has been around the NBA for a long time. So I'm of the mindset never to disrespect someone who is actually in the profession, engaged in the profession on an everyday basis. And who am I to say that I know better than a guy who for the last 4 months has been trying to study this up, have been trying to put together these different parameters, these different looks on what they can do to enhance their brand here as they start this season. And so I gotta sit back and go, you're the expert. And until I see otherwise, I've got to trust that this is the best thing that you can do for the Sixers. So here are my four concerns. Number one, the Hail Mary factor. Would they have been better off staying the same? It's a legit question because there are a lot of people that think yes. You weren't thinking about this change at all. You know, you're thinking maybe that sticking, shaking the lineup, but, you know, maybe it's with Tobias as the four and not moving Ben out of the perimeter. So would they have been better off staying the same? Number two, Ben at the four. I love Ben Simmons. You know this, right? I love him mostly because of what he does with the ball in his hands. So Ben at the four, you're going to have to convince me, why does this benefit the Sixers more than him at the one? Three, how sure are you about Shake? And number four, and we always have to get to this because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be. And it seems like they're still like scrambling around and they have a limited amount of time to figure out what the bench rotation is going to be. So that's my fourth question. What is the rotation? Can he keep it at 8 or max 9? Because if you're going to 10 in the playoffs, you're still scrambling. And you don't know what you're going to get out of guys. And that scares me a ton.
You know, of those four, number two is the one I'm most concerned about.
Why does Ben benefit the Sixers more than him at the one?
Yes, because my one... I'm trying to be optimistic about it. I'm looking at him as almost a super Draymond Green in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Draymond does a lot of stuff, and Ben can do, he can defend just as well. He's even taller. He can do a ton of things. But Draymond is willing to shoot. And Draymond has made in his career some big three-pointers, some big shots in certain moments because he's willing to shoot. If Ben continues to be completely unwilling to shoot, it could destroy Embiid, which then destroys your offense. Because if he's completely unwilling to shoot and he's inside that three-point line, well, then why do you have to guard him? And if you're not guarding him, you're basically doubling your best offensive player, at least, every single play of the game. That's what happened against Toronto. That's what happened against Boston and with Horford. Horford and all those guys get credit. And I'm not saying that Horford or Gasol didn't do a good job on Embiid, but it was exacerbated by Ben's inability to be a threat on offense. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit scary to me. At least when he's bringing it up, he can create other things by having him off the ball. You could be playing 4-on-5 a lot, and that extra man would be doubling Joel Embiid basically every possession. That's not great playoff bad offense.
Okay. We will talk about all this. We will have Ben said some things today. We will let you hear, we come out of our break, what Ben Simmons had to say about this whole thing with questions from Keith Pombay and other people. But we have the Keith sound that we're going to play you. And then we just, listen, you got to, like, you got to read in the situation right now. I have questions. But I am of the mindset that I have to respect Brett Brown, at least for now. He's the coach. I've got no choice but to trust the guy who is the best expert. And you have to give into that. He is the expert who is coaching this team. We're on the outside. He's in the inside. So you got to give him that kind of respect that he has come up with the best plan for the Sixers to advance. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. The Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly. Your calls after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
3:30, Mike Mussinelli Show. Let's get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie. Ned?
Thanks, Mike. Over 600 votes on this one today. Do you think Jason Peters will be able to make the transition to guard? 82% say yes, 18% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. And let's get back to the telephones and go
Shams is reporting multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus.
Oh, the snitch line is cooking?
It's cooking. DJ,
Listen, I know we have kind of selective rules when it comes to snitch lines. When your health is at stake, a snitch line shouldn't be looked at as negative.
I agree.
No, absolutely not.
You can't. It's a lot of money and health, like you said, on the line. Mm-hmm. Can't mess around. And we already had one player who broke the dumb bubble just to go get food.
Yeah.
So if you're going to break it for that, you'll definitely break it for a woman, for this, or that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. So, good. I'm glad.
Well, yeah. So that means there are protocol violations here.
Well,
if the snitch line is humming, the guys are flouting the system.
Like, or probably questionable behavior, I would imagine.
Like what?
So,
will be questionable behavior. Leaving the grounds is the only questionable behavior.
So,
right?
Shams, he goes on, he says some players have received warnings from violations, sources said, as league ensures social distancing and mask protocol. So, someone might have not been wearing their mask, or they might be congregating too close together, maybe something like that.
I got you. By the way, it was just fascinating that, that video of the Wildwood police officer beating on a guy that he had in custody. And it's fascinating the way it came together because the guy tweeted out the video like 3-something a.m. And then he had the Inquirer reporter tweeted him back, if you want to talk to me, please call me, and blah, blah, blah. So they were trying to get it through this guy's video to make him a witness on what was going on down there. And I don't know if he did or not. I saw a story today in the Philadelphia Inquirer on it, but there weren't many details. Do we have any more details on that? Did that guy who witnessed that come forth?
I haven't seen anything else. I'll look into it. But I haven't seen anything more than what we already know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. I was thinking about my Phillies lineup. And I decided something, Tyrone. I decided something that is pretty, I don't think you would think I would have gone this way.
Oh, okay.
So I have decided that the center field job should go to Roman Quinn.
Okay.
I think he offers more at that position in the lineup and in the field than Haseley does. And until he gets hurt, I would ride with that as my plan and make him my leadoff hitter.
All right. So.
I know that's a tall ask, you know, because it's pressure not only as a starter, but as a leadoff hitter.
So, all right. So for a week, he's the leadoff hitter and a center fielder. And then Haseley bats ninth or eighth and plays center field for the rest 53 games. Because that guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah. But here's my lineup.
All right.
Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon in a two-hole.
In the two-hole. Why the two? He was the best leadoff hitter in baseball.
He's older.
Year.
I don't want him in a leadoff hole. I'd rather have him in a two-hole. If Quinn gets on, he steals second. McCutcheon now becomes an RBI guy.
Okay.
I want McCutcheon to be more than a leadoff hitter. I think he could be more productive not as a leadoff hitter.
All right.
Because I don't have any other place. But Quinn can set a table for me. So to me, he's a better leadoff hitter than McCutcheon.
Okay.
McCutcheon's not going to get on steal or anything. Quinn is. So I like that dynamic of it. The Phillies have to do some different things offensively.
Okay.
All right. So now I got McCutcheon 2, Harper, Hoskins, Ramuto, Segura, Jetpacks, Gregorius.
And then who's your DH?
Oh, forgot about the DH.
You got to have the DH.
Oh, I forgot about the DH. I got to redo it. I got to redo it because Jay Bruce has got to be the DH. But then again,
against lefties.
Yeah, I don't know if they would change it up against righties. Jay Bruce has,
now they said it won't be all the time. They said they'll spell guys, but early you wouldn't be spelling guys.
All right, so I'll put Bruce in the six hole. Segura 7, Jetpacks 8, Gregorius 9.
There you go. So he has no pressure on him in that 9 hole, coming off the injury, trying to earn a little money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My only issue is just the Quinn factor, because I think that you're going to end up having to make McCutcheon your leadoff hitter after a week anyway once the hamstring pull comes.
You're probably right. But best case scenario, I got to take a shot here.
Okay.
And this battle for center field. This guy does more than Haseley. So let's chance it.
Hey, Haseley's pretty good in the field, too.
He is, but Quinn is, too. It's just the wheels I can't ignore. He gives me an advantage with the wheels.
He's very
fast. I'm going to trust him. I'm not a fan. Don't get me wrong, because I don't know if he can hit at this level. But to platoon him, and that's what they're thinking of doing. They're going to platoon and make Quinn the right-handed center field bat and make Hazel the left-handed center field bat. But I defeat Quinn by making him strictly a right-handed hitter. A left-handed hitter with his speed, to me, is more of an asset than him just batting from the right side.
Yeah, and he's back to switch hitting after Gabe made him stop.
Right.
The smart man just said,
I got to have him hit left-handed, too. And the way to do that is I got to start him.
You got to play him
every day. I can't just platoon him and say, you're just a right-handed hitter.
All right. I think it's worth a try. I mean, Hazy still get plenty of playing time.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Your boy will be all right.
He'll be all right.
610-632-0975. Steve on a cell. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Steve?
I got a couple things I want to touch on. First of all, speaking of the bubble, the NBA bubble,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite backup center, Rashawn Holmes, he's one of the guys who violate.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that. Yeah. We busted on Rashawn yesterday.
I know you did. I know.
Uh-huh.
As far as Ben with the in the four, I'm with you. I'd say, you know, Brett Brown, hey, he's an experienced head coach. He knows basketball probably better than all of us, so give it a try. I think he can get that open shot, which you like you were saying earlier, like similar to the way Charles Oakley was with Toronto. I don't know if you remember when the Sixers played him in the playoffs. Charles Oakley constantly had that open shot on a I can't remember what side of the rim it was, but yeah. So, yeah, that should be good, yeah.
And he made some shots.
And he made, exactly.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. He's got to have the confidence to take and make that shot.
True that. And that remains to be seen. But I still want him to, hopefully he can still have the ball in his hands and, like, still do like we did last year earlier this year when Brett Brown put him at the four sometimes. But he still played the point, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Well, yeah, my third, I heard you on TV and I heard the tail end of the conversation. You were talking about Steven Seagal, whatever the movies. And I would have to say my two favorite movies by him would have to be Alpha Justice and Marked for Death.
Out for Justice was hysterical to me.
It was
funny in a campy way. Because here's the thing about Seagal. Seagal beats up 1,000 people in his movies and never gets touched.
You're right. He never gets touched. Look, I'm not Italian. I'm African American, but I know a bad fake Italian accent when I hear one.
It's true. He goes behind the bar. He goes, "Oh, hey, wait, I see boxing gloves. Wait, are you a tough guy? Yeah, I see how boxing gloves over here. I got this one over here. Yeah.
The guy was like, you could have killed somebody upstairs. He's like, and there ain't nobody upstairs.
That's a good call, man. That's good, Steve. I appreciate it. That's the truth. He embellishes the Italian part of it into a camp. The movie's campy.
Yes, almost.
It really is. It's funny.
It is funny. He's unintentionally funny. Actually, you know, it's actually a glitch in the Matrix that guy ended up having such a big career.
Yeah.
It's a glitch in the Matrix. That should have never happened.
He's telling the mob guy. No, I was a kid. So, you remember Pino? Yeah, I remember Pino. It's going to take me to the movies. He stops by, he's this guy beaten. He puts him in the trunk. I go to the movies. I'm thinking about, what about the guy in the trunk?
Right? Yes. He's so bad.
And Cheech, hey, look at us under God. Who would have thought? You became a gangster and I became a cop. It's ridiculous.
It's terrible.
But I mean, he beats the hell out of people. I never see anybody. You're against all the martial art dudes. You're going to get clipped.
At least, not even a stomach punch. You're going to get clipped. Nothing.
You're going to clip once.
Doesn't bleed, nothing.
He doesn't get touched.
Indestructible. At least when Van Damme movies, Van Damme's, first of all, it's hard. You root for a guy because he's like the underdog. Van Damme is losing and he comes back. Seagal never is losing. There had to be two screw faces just so he could have a challenge. One wasn't enough. They had to throw in a twist.
Yeah. And in that one, Gina Gershon is in that one I'm talking about.
She's in that.
Played Richie's sister.
Yeah. Now she can act.
And Uncle Junior is his father.
Yes, he is. What was he doing in that movie?
Uncle Junior's his father in that movie. The bad guy.
I bet you he was a badass too.
Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's bring in Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast. Keith, there's so many layers to this, so let me just ask you, first of all, your reaction to the head coach making this kind of a move.
You know, I was a little shocked all right, let me put it this way. I wasn't surprised that, he would be like a point forward just because Shake is another point guard, but I felt like, you know, they would tell us, like, no, Ben's the point guard. But when you watch the game, you realize that Shake's the point guard and Ben's more of a point forward. But when he said it yesterday, you know, I was like, whoa. And then that's why I came back and I asked a question about it. And then he came back and said, yeah, you know, he's been playing it exclusively at practice. He tried to walk it back a little bit today, but you know, it was one of those things where, yeah, I was a little shocked because of the timing. You know, they're getting ready to go into the playoffs. And when you make a real change like that, you know, it's kind of like you're doing a lot. You know what I mean? A lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah, sorry. So regarding this move, I had three questions I was asking our listeners today. So I'll ask the same ones to you. Number one.
Okay.
Is this a Hail Mary play by Brett? And would they have been better off, in your opinion, staying the same with Ben at the one? Number two, Ben at the four, why would this benefit the Sixers more than him at the one? And finally, number three, are we that sure about Shake that he's going to deliver?
You know, say number one again. And then we'll-
number one, is this a Hail Mary move by Brett? And would they might they have been better off just staying the same with Ben as the one?
You know what, I think that Ben was going to get the ball in the high post anyway. So, yeah, it could have been like a Hail Mary move, like, you know, you're making something drastic. But I think that initially Ben would have been, I mean, he would have been a point forward no matter what, because if you look at how the team has been playing, like, gradually during the season, you know, he kept getting the ball in the high post. You know, the thing is, he wasn't dribbling the ball up the length of the court as much in the half-court set. They would just pass it to him in a high post, and he would, as Brett likes to say, quarterback the gym. So I think that this gets, like, headlines and you know, things like that. But, again, I thought that he would be classified as the point guard, but he would have been more of a point forward, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that. But also, the head coach said that he's the fastest player in the league, and so he's alluding to the fact that he can jet down the floor, beat everybody, and get a pass and score off transition. Now, I'm looking at it like, yeah, I can see he does the Barkley thing where he gets it off the glass and goes, and that makes him still the one. Or it's a kick out to him on the wing, and he goes, and he starts to break. So how are they going to, you know, kind of smooth this over on what that role is on transition?
Yeah, that's going to be tough because what Brett said, you know, I understand that. And I will tell you this, during the games that I saw Ben playing a four and playing a five, he was phenomenal, right? The problem with what you just said is it's going to be tougher to get out on a break like that in the playoffs when everybody slows everything up. You know, guys are going to get back. He's going to draw a crowd. So it's not going to be as easy as it was in the regular season. You know what I mean? It sounds good, but it's not going to be as easy. But I will say that, you know, when he's in the post, and there's a lot of times Joel didn't play when he was in there, and I saw certain things, you know, I was amazed by it. I mean, I will say that about Ben.
Okay. All right, so let's go with the Shake theory. And, you know, I think we've taken a leap here, and I don't know if there's been enough time to take a leap because, you know, I'm always skeptical. You know, I need to see more. So you think we're rounding off a little too much that Shake is the reliable guy who has arrived, who can help this team in those moments where they need help as a shooter and as a floor general?
Yeah, I think if you know, I like Shake a lot. And I wish Shake well. I hope he does well. But I'm with you a little bit. I think there's a little bit of a leap. And the reason being, I'm saying, I mean, like, first of all, you're going to put a lot of pressure on him. You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. Because what happens if Shake doesn't play well? You know, do you go back to Ben? Right? Also, who's your backup point guard? Who's plan B? And what's going to happen now, they're going to say, okay, you want to take the ball out of Ben's hand? So what we're going to do is we're going to blitz this young point guard, and we're going to see what he can do. You know, and I think guys are going to attack him differently now. So, you know, it's putting a lot of pressure on Shake, and it's putting a lot of pressure on Brett Brown because, you know, everything has to go right. And, you know, Tom Moore asked a great question today. He said, who's going to get the ball in crunch time? And Brett Brown, like, avoided that play. I mean, avoided that that question. He didn't want to answer it. And that's the thing. Like, do you have enough faith in Shake to when there's, like, it's 3 seconds left or whatever, 5 seconds left, you're going to put the ball in his hands and trust that he makes a play?
All right. Let's go back to the Ben at four. Now, we were talking about the half-court situation. If Ben is in a four position, how does this move jive with Embiid? What's the benefit of it? How will this hurt or help Embiid?
You know, it's weird. It's to be seen. You know, the thing is with Ben like being hesitant to shoot threes when he's down in the paint. there are going to be people coming towards him and trying to cut off his passing lanes. Now, if he was out in the perimeter, you know, everybody was going to sag off of him and run towards Joel, right? Mm-hmm. So if Ben is at the high post and Joel's the low post, it could work out, especially if they try pick and rolls and then you fake the Ben or whatever and you go to Joe. So that can help. How it's going to hurt is, like, what if they don't, I mean, it's still going to be an extra body down there. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to maneuver ways to create some spacing for Joel no matter what, you know? Now, you know, everybody keeps saying that, you know, it could work out, but then there are us, and I shouldn't say everybody, there's some people saying that, and there's other people, like, shaking their head who think they can't play together. You know, but I'm just here to tell you, here's my concern is, what happens if Ben is a success to a point where we're going to be at the bubble, we're in the bubble, and everyone's going to just rave over Ben Simmons, and he starts stealing the headlines. Is that going to take away from some of Joel's production? And if so, how is Joel going to react? I mean, right now, you know, everyone says all the great things, but Joel told us last week that he can carry this team, that this is his team. You know, so how is that going to mesh if his production is cut in half because Ben is going to be taking up a lot of the calls and stuff on the low block?
Yeah, it's a good point. Let me bring up my biggest concern here with this move. Al Horford knows how to play that four when there's attention on somebody else down low. He slides into an open spot. And he made that medium range, that 10, 12-foot jump shot all the time. Ben Simmons is going to get that shot in this new alignment from the four, I think. Does he take that?
I don't know, man.
You know he's going to get that. And I know in the first game what he's going to be reluctant to take, because what he usually does when he passes up a shot, he'll turn his back and he'll hand it off to somebody. You know, and I want to see like him slide it like Horford into that savvy open spot, get it, and make the jump shot.
Yeah. I mean, that I guess that's the million-dollar question. That's the thing that everybody's wondering. Now, if he does that, then I think, like, the tandem between him and Joel are going to work out. I mean, I honestly think that the Sixers, you know, Brett Brown, by him walking back, today saying Ben was all over the place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of realizes that, you know, he would have been better off just saying Ben is going to be the point guard and letting us decide for ourselves with our own eyes. Kind of sort of like what they did with TJ McConnell 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah.
TJ came in and was really the point.
Yeah.
They said he was the two guard.
Yeah.
I think that would have avoided a lot of, you know, the pressure that Brett's going to be under and also Shake and then Ben, you know?
Yeah, I got you. All right, now that Horford's off the bench, different dynamic because, you know, what roles he come in off the bench? I know he'll take some Joel minutes, but where else is he going to be used?
You know, it could be, you know how, like, Brett always, you know, he'll sub in. He likes to stagger things, right? So I could see before it was always Joel and then Josh Richardson coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could see Joel and Shake going out, right? I could see that. And I could see Ben slide into the one and playing kind of sort of like, you know, maybe a two-man game with Al, like, you know, mm-hmm. getting Al involved. Because you're going to have to switch your rotation now or your substitution pattern now, you know, because you can't have, you know, those two in there at the same time. Now, who again, you know, maybe because I think that you can have Al at the five, Tobias could slide down to the four, and Ben could slide out to the, you know, to the one.
Yeah.
And then maybe you bring in Furkan or Matisse Seibel at the two.
All right, my last question. So quickly, the rotation we're trying to figure out off the bench. Horford is locked as one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Burks locked?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so. I did a couple weeks ago. No, I don't know why, because I'm starting to think, the more I think about it, and I think of Matisse Thybul, right? Now, Brett may go to nine players, right? But the more I think of, like, Matisse Thybul, when I think of what he brings defensively, and defense is going to matter a lot in the playoffs, and when you especially reduce your rotation and you stagger a lot, guys like Tobias, their points should go up. Like, you're going to look for them to do more. You know, Josh Richardson, guys like that, Shake now. You're going to look for them to do more. And I think that if you get a guy who's really good at one particular thing, which Matisse is great on a defensive end, I think you got to play him.
All right, so you got Horford, Matisse, Korkmaz, and maybe a ninth.
Well, Brett is saying there is going to be a ninth. That's okay. What he's saying.
All right, so who's the ninth?
It comes to situational. I think it's going to come down to, you know, a situational thing. Like, okay. I think that, you know, it could be Birch or it could be Glenn Robinson III.
Okay.
You know, I do. And, you know, Brett keeps throwing Mike Scott's name in there. But I don't know, when you already have four bigs. You got Ben, you got Tobias, you got Al, and you have Joel. I think it's going to be hard for Mike to get some minutes. In my personal opinion.
All right. We'll see what happens. This is dynamic. I love this. Keith, great stuff. We'll continue to read you and hopefully have you on soon. Thanks, buddy.
All right, my man. Have a great
one. All right, Keith Pompey, The Inquirer, Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.